We're looking at, of course, we're celebrating Mother's Day today, and we only have one mother with us, but that's a blessing. So we're going to look at three things from the scriptures that make an outstanding mother, So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and start in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made with Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into the Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son." Am I in the right chapter? Yes, chapters 2. Okay. "Her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." We're going to be looking at some of the other stuff here, but just starting with the birth of Christ and looking at his mother, who was Mary, who was espoused, being great with child. And we go back and we look further back when we've seen the birth of John the Baptist, which was Mary's cousin, who was 6 months older than Christ. And when Mary went to go visit her and give her the news, the babe leaped in her belly, and it talks about that. But we're going to look at some of these things here shortly. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we do ask that you'll just bless this time we have together. Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, we'll just bring honor and glory to you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, mothers, what can we say about them? Everything good and nothing bad. I got a few illustrations I want to share with you. An 8-year-old Mary wrote her mother a note for Mother's Day. "Dear Mother, here's the box of candy I bought for you on Mother's Day. It's very good candy, I know, because I already had 3 pieces. 8-year-old Carol also wrote her mother and said, "Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." And then there's a 6-year-old Johnny, and his 4-year-old sister presented their mom with a Mother's Day present, a small spindly house plant. While it wasn't the finest looking plant, they had bought it with their own money, and their mom was thrilled. She hugged and kissed her children and told them she loved them for thinking of her. But Johnny said, "There were some other flowers we wanted to buy you for you, Mom, but we didn't have enough money." His sister just said they had a bunch of flowers at the flower shop that we were going to buy. "But I love this plant," said the happy mother. "I know, Mom," said Johnny, "but these flowers would have been perfect for you. They were in a wreath, and they had a ribbon that said, 'Rest in peace.' And on it, you're always asking for a little peace so you can rest." So just a little humor in these illustrations. But the whole point here is we're looking at 3 things of an outstanding mother. Giving birth does not make a woman a mother. And we see that all around us. Just because a gal will have a baby doesn't mean she's a mother. It takes a special woman to be a mother. A mother is a person who is willing to take the responsibility of investing her life into another human being who is totally dependent upon her to do so. That's what a mother is. And we got a little poem, author unknown. "The one who follows me. A careful mother I ought to be. A little one is following me. I do not dare to go astray, for fear she'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape her eyes. Whatever she sees me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be that little one who follows me. She thinks that I'm good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me she must not see, that little one who follows me. I must remember as I go, through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be that little one who follows me. It was just a real good poem. I had to repeat it. So it's just a very important, not only moms, but fathers too, need to be the example to their children, because that's what they want to be when they grow up. That's where they mimic and they turn. But the first thing we're going to see here, and we're going to come back to Luke, is 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to see one of the things that makes a good mother is she has a personal relationship with God. She has a personal relationship with the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, we're going to read actually 1 through 5. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. We must have a personal relationship with the Lord. I see that word unfeigned faith there in verse 5. I looked up unfeigned, and it just simply means without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Unfeigned. We see a few verses that deal with that same word, and I want to share those with you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. It must have a personal relationship with the Lord, but it must be one of unfeigned faith, without dissimulation. As we read the poem, we need to be careful what we do. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. That's that same word, which means hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. We need to love without dissimulation. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. It's the same words, unfeigned, without dissimulation. And then we see there, we read the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, but then we see 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I just wanted to share a few of these with you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we see that word, and the last place we're going to look is James, book of James, chapter 3, verse 17, just a few pages back. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's wisdom from above. So we see, a mother needs to have a personal relationship with God, but it needs to be with one of unfeigned faith, unfeigned or without hypocrisy. We must lead by example. Who sees us better than our children? When you're living in your home, who sees us better? They watch every move we make. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1 now. I know we read there where Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, but it's chapter 1. We're going to see in verse 30, Luke chapter 1, actually started in verse 26. This is where I was talking about. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man, speaking of Mary, whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So that speaks of one thing there, is she has a personal relationship with God. But we also see here, Mary is a person of spiritual integrity. She's highly favored. Why would the angel say this about her if it wasn't true? When God says something about it, that really holds some weight. But she's highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among men, women. But then we'll also see there, as we go down a little further, we're going to continue to read. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she shall also be conceived of a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month, and with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel of departed from her. So we see that she's highly favored, the angel tells her there in verse 30. And then we see there in verse 38, her submission of will to God's will. She was willing to do whatever God would have her to do. It says, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So we see that she's a person of spiritual integrity because she has a relationship with God. But then we also see Mary was a person who enjoyed the presence of the Lord. We're going to go further down here in chapter 1, in verse 46. It says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Well, you don't call God your Savior if you don't have if you're not in a relationship with Him. But she enjoyed the presence of the Lord. We're going to keep on reading. It says, For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, and for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of his heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So she was at, this is where she was at, her cousin's house, Elizabeth. But she says, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She was a person who enjoyed the presence of God. But not only did she enjoy the presence of God, but she also enjoyed, she was a person hungry for God. So we see those two things throughout those verses we just read. See, the first thing necessary to become an outstanding mother is a personal relationship with God. That's the first thing. Well, secondly, to be an outstanding mother, you have to have a proper relationship with her family. A proper relationship with her family. We go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 39. Luke chapter 2 and verse 39. It says that when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover when he was 12 years old, speaking of Jesus. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto her, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. So he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and it says he was subject unto them. So she needs to have a relationship with her, a proper relationship with her family. And then we're going to deal with that part here in a second. But we see that Mary supported her husband's leadership. Mary supported her husband's leadership. She went with him. When they left Jerusalem, they had to turn around and come back because they left Jesus behind by accident. They did not know of it. But she followed his leadership. We also see in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 21, it says, Submitting yourselves one to another with the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. For your husbands is the head of the wife, and even the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But then we also see there in verse 33, it says, Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And this is what Mary was showing here. She was reverencing her husband. She supported her husband's leadership. But then we also see in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. It's about that supporting her husband. She esteemed him better than herself. And that's in a marriage relationship. We need to do that to each other. But then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So we see when we submit to others, or submit to other as our authorities or whatever we do, we're humbling ourselves and then we're submitting to their authority. So Mary supported her husband's leadership. But then we see Mary taught her children discipline and honor to God. And we read that in verses 51 and 52. It says, He went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So we see that Mary taught her children discipline. And this is part of her proper relationship with her family. She submitted to the support of her husband. And then now she's disciplining or teaching her children discipline in honor of God. So then we also see in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 also deals with this. To where, in verse 1 it says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's just right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then it goes on to talk about servants. So that's the whole thing. We're not seeing much of that today. We're not seeing much of parents being parents or moms being moms. They want a career and they don't want to take care of their kids and they want to pay somebody else to take care of them, which we're familiar with that because, of course, my wife's a nanny and with that same situation. But when the children honor their parents, there's a promise to live long. But in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If parents were actually training their children and taking care of the children like they ought to be, we would have a whole different generation. Problem is, parents are not being parents. They're allowing kids to tell them what to do, and it's very evident as we look around. And that's the sadness of it. If children don't honor or obey you, whom they can see, how will they learn to obey God whom they cannot see? That's the whole purpose of teaching them to be obedient to the parents, because when the time comes and they become an adult, then it moves on to their next authority, which will be God, which that should always be their top priority, the parents' top priority, and the kids see that. But when parents are not being parents, then the kids don't get to see what a good godly example is all about. So they start out with not even a chance to do what's right when they get older, unless they have somebody else take them under their wing. That's why I believe the devil has fought so hard to destroy our homes. Through the TV, through school, indoctrination, daycares. See, men and women are shacked up. There are no fathers present, single mothers raising the children, no respect for women. Why? Because we've gotten away from God's plan. If we did it God's way, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. But not only Mary supported her husband's leadership, she taught her children discipline and honor of God. But Mary was faithful to her children. Mary was faithful to her children. Let's turn to John chapter 19. John 19. Chapter 19 and verse 25. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto him, unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that point hour the disciple took her unto his own home. So Mary was there. She stood by the cross of Jesus. She was loyal to her son till his death. See, what a blessing it is to know that moms don't give up. They will always be there. Now, in some cases, that's not the case, but it's the way it should be. Moms are always there. See, moms don't give up on their children. That doesn't mean they condone or approve their sin, but they always love their children. Even when they hurt them, even when they disappoint them, even when they disown them, moms still don't give up. Mary was faithful to her children until death. How many times have we heard of a praying mother for her wayward child? How many stories have we heard through preaching to where a grandma or mom was praying for that child, and then however many years later, they came back to the Lord or they got saved? Or moms never give up. See, my grandmother was my mother, and she never gave up on me. I mean, she loved me till the day she died. I mean, she wrote letters to me. She called me. She did everything she possibly could in her power to stay in touch with me. She never gave up on me. So we see that to be a good mother, you have a personal relationship with God. You have a proper relationship with her family. But then we see here in Luke chapter 1, a willingness to serve God. A willingness to serve God. Chapter 1 and verse 38, chapter 1 of Luke. says, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Are we willing to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord? Are we willing? Paul says, "I die daily." Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, being the Son of God, being God in the flesh, he was praying and asking God to lift this burden from him, lift this, but he said, "Nevertheless, at thy will." We need to have a willingness to serve God. So we see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Luke 9:23, he says, and this is Jesus telling his disciples, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or lose himself or be cast away?" A willingness to serve God. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? We're going to look at the last scripture we're going to take a look at is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We need to have a willingness to serve God. See, it's not about us, it's about him. Living for him, submitting to him, obeying him, honoring him. It's about him. It's about Christ. It's about living for him. So to be an outstanding mother, you need to have a personal relationship with God. You need to have a proper relationship with your family. And there has to be a willingness to serve God. That's what an outstanding mother is. Let's pray.